Hey, here's the issue. Storm courting. There you go. How's that? I don't know if that's a, hey, Storm, how you doing? Is that what storm courting looks like?
I don't know. I think you just coined a brand new expression.
I have no idea what all of that just was.
We need to pause right now, and you need to copyright that right now.
Right
now.
It's time for the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast.
Welcome back, sports fans from sunny and warm Northwest Louisiana, where we hit a high of, 85, 86 today.
It was beautiful, whatever it was.
And I tell you, Darren, so last week I shared how I made it to Ash Wednesday before I had to mow my grass.
Right.
Well, today I had to go mow my parents' yard. I'm thinking, this is still February. This is crazy. Yeah.
We don't have we basically have two seasons. We have spring and summer. We really don't have fall. We really don't have winter. We really you can tell a winter is that 6 weeks that we don't have to cut the grass. That's pretty much our winter.
Some
that's
years,
pretty much the way it works.
Some years we don't get the full 6 weeks.
No, that's right. Yeah, I remember I'm going to confess, it wasn't me. I'll own up to that. But I remember, I think it was 2 years ago, we had a neighbor out cutting his yard like Christmas Eve. It was just like, good gracious, this is a Louisiana thing.
It is. Darren, however, you forgot one of the most dreaded seasons that we face, and that is pollen season, which is on the horizon.
Oh, yeah. That beautiful, beautiful time when you sneeze continuously and you walk out and look at your, why is it? Oh, it's just a green tint of pollen.
They say hindsight's 20/20. When I bought a black truck years ago, I never considered pollen season because at the height of pollen season, you could wash your vehicle every single day and wake up the next morning and there'd be more pollen on it.
Without fail. It's incredible.
But it is a great day to be an LSU fan, Darren. I've got to share this as we start off.
All right.
This is coming information that per Shay Dixon, but LSU currently has six sports ranked in the top 10. Baseball number 2, gymnastics number 2, softball number 3, beach volleyball number 6, women's basketball number 9, and women's track and field number 9. So say what you will. It's a great day to be an LSU fan with 6 sports ranked in the top 10. How's Vanderbilt doing with that?
Well, equally as excited, we have 11 sports ranked in the bottom 10. So very, very excited. Hey, I started to say baseball is doing good, but we'll get to this a little later. I know, but the only team in the top 10 that has 3 losses already, that's not exciting. But, you know, we'll figure it out. I'm confident. We'll figure it out.
I honestly was not trying to pick at you, Darren. I was hoping maybe I could stir up some Alabama fans, but that only happens when I talk about Dallas Turner's late and egregious hits on quarterbacks.
And the fact that he wasn't ejected. But anyway, moving on.
I guess we could talk about where he's going to go in the draft. But I think Alabama fans have largely stopped listening to us.
I think you're right.
Let's look at our polls coming up. Well, not coming up, but the latest AP polls in men's basketball. We'll start there. Tennessee has moved up to number 4, the highest ranked SEC team as they continue to cruise. Mm-hmm. Auburn at number 11, Alabama at 14, Kentucky at 16. Kentucky, you know, we want to say, are they back? Are they for real? We see them pull off a great victory, and then they go down to Baton Rouge and get beat by, let's face it, a pretty mediocre LSU basketball team.
Yep.
South Carolina at number 18, Florida at 24. On the women's side of things, South Carolina isn't going anywhere. They still got number 1, and nobody is really coming close to that.
No.
Texas at number 3. LSU has moved up to number 9, and Oklahoma at number 20. So let's talk a little bit about these polls and upcoming big games on both sides, men's and women's. I think that's Wednesday, isn't it? Isn't it Wednesday that Auburn travels to Tennessee for a huge matchup? I can't remember if that's Tuesday or Wednesday. I had it in my notes, and Now I'm second guessing myself.
I think it's Wednesday. Because I think we started out talking about Tuesday when we were talking before we started recording. And then you said, oh, wait, Wednesday, that's when the game is. I'm pretty sure. I think.
Okay. So that's going to be a huge game.
Yeah.
Auburn and Tennessee.
And now where is it again?
I believe it's in Knoxville.
In Knoxville. Okay.
Then Saturday, the 24th ranked Florida Gators, very quiet number 24.
Kind of out of nowhere. Absolutely.
Travel to Columbia to face the number 18th ranked South Carolina Gamecocks. And then also on Saturday, fourth ranked Tennessee is traveling to Tuscaloosa to take on 14th ranked Alabama.
Do you think Alabama, after being called out by their coach, will play a little bit better defense than this week's games? Because I have seen coaches phrase things a lot of different ways, but I got to give Nate Oates some serious props for his creativity. I believe the way he said it was, there's been murmurs all season about our defense, and we decided today to leave no doubt. We don't guard anyone. It's like, okay, well, you called your team out. Good job.
It worked for Rick Pitino. I mean, St. John's upset Creighton after he threw his team under the bus. We'll see. But this is, you know, Tennessee has a brutal two-game stretch here.
Yeah,
Auburn definitely is coming to Knoxville, and then they have to travel to Tuscaloosa for Alabama. So two back-to-back games against top 20 teams.
And I tell you what, you come out of that stretch winning both of those, and I think it takes things confidence up even more. I think that could be, if you lose one of those games, I think you can say, okay, look at the stretch we just played and we still came out of it only losing one game. I think if you go through that stretch and you win both of those games, I think it takes that team and ratchets their confidence up another notch. I think it could create a scenario where their end of the season is just incredible, really ramps up and lights them on fire going through the end of the season, headed into tournament play.
Definitely. We don't want to neglect our fans from Oklahoma, Sooner fans. Mm-hmm. They've got a big one coming up this coming Saturday, Saturday night game. Number one ranked Houston is coming to Norman to face on the Sooners. What does that even
mean? I don't even know what that means.
What does that mean?
I don't know. You got me on that one. Is that face? You remember face on? Is that
wasn't there a movie Face Off?
Nick Cage and
John Travolta.
There you go. That's right. Very, very realistic movie about changing faces.
Can't be it. I mean, I'm trying to find a legitimate reason for my faux pas, and there is not one other than I just simply misspoke.
It could be possible.
So, Oklahoma fans, I'm sure they'll pack the Lloyd Noble Center for that matchup against number one ranked Houston.
Boy, so we're talking about a great one to pull off. They pull off that upset as hot as Houston is right now. And Oklahoma is not they're not an ugly, you know, a bad team. It's a team that, you know, things hit right, they could pull that upset off. I mean, Houston is incredible, and it would definitely be an upset, and everything would have to happen right for Oklahoma. But I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that everything clicks and they pull off the upset.
It's going to be a tough challenge.
Yeah, definitely.
Houston is one of the best defensive teams in the country. Mm-hmm. And when head coach Kelvin Sampson's got his guys playing solid defense, they are scary good.
Yep. Agree completely.
So we'll see. Maybe a little bit of magic in Norman that night, but it will be a tough task regardless.
And hey, just real quick, we talked about the South Carolina-Florida game and how quiet Florida had kind of climbed up. I think that's going to be a sneaky good game. I think that's going to be a game with everything else we just talked about that won't get a whole lot of pregame attention, but it'll be one of those games that when it's over with and done, it's like no matter which team wins, I mean, if Florida pulls off the upset, obviously that adds a little bit to it because you've got an upset to it. But and I guess that would be a home upset. I can't remember where we said it was, but either way, I think that's going to be a great game, a very intense, fun game to watch.
Sneaky good. I like how you said that, Darren.
I'll forgive you. Go ahead.
I forgive you for wearing the Yankees cap now.
Come on, it's baseball season.
Welcome the evil empire to the show.
The evil empire, pitchers and catchers have reported the evil empire is ready.
Now, are you allowed to maintain your facial hair wearing that cap?
As long as I'm not at practice, I'm good. I think so.
Speaking of baseball, let's talk about the AP Top 25, where the SEC has a, I'm not going to even say that word again. Let's just say has a lot of teams. Arkansas at number 2, LSU at 3, Florida 4, A&M 7, Tennessee 8, Vanderbilt 9, Texas 15, Alabama 16, South Carolina 19, Auburn 23. It's hard to keep your breath going through all. That's a lot of teams.
That's a lot. I mean, think about 10 teams. 10 teams, almost half of the top 25 are SEC teams. And you know, there are a couple of teams that are kind of sitting outside that top 25 that are a couple of good weekend stretches away from being able to jump in. Kentucky comes to mind. Some might say Georgia. I don't know that I'm willing to go that far, but their bats are alive. I think they have the most home runs in all of D1 baseball right now. So there are some teams sitting out there that could make it. Half the teams in the nation, top 25 teams in the nation, are SEC teams.
As my friend Darren is fond of saying, that's a plethora of teams.
A plethora. So does that mean I can say plethora since you said plethora? Oh, and here, fun fact, just for maintaining the symmetry of highlighting the same stat 2 weeks in a row, our good friends at A&M, now at number 7, up 2 places, are still the best pitching staff in the entire country. They are 8-0 and still have a sub 1-run team ERA. They're like at 0.79 or something, like just ridiculous. They still have a sub 1 team ERA, which is, I know that they're not playing Arkansas and LSU. I understand that. But regardless of who you're playing, that is ridiculous. So just wanted to highlight that again, that if you're an SEC team, be afraid of that pitching staff. We'll see how it holds up when they get into SEC play. You know, there could be some things that kind of fall apart. You could have injuries. Those things happen. But if I'm an SEC coach, that has my attention right now. I'm already looking at that staff, seeing what we need to do when they come to town or when we go to their place.
A very impressive statistic.
Yep.
I'd like to point out, even though I can't produce concrete evidence that this is the case, but that ERA, would that have happened if Jimbo had still been the head football coach there?
They would have a 3.79. That's what... I think there's absolutely no doubt, because the only thing that happens when Jimbo is on campus is the other team scores points. That's what we know.
Aggie fans, we love you. We just we're not impressed with your former coach.
That's I think Aggie fans are with us on this one. I don't think they'll argue.
Before we digress and get into big trouble, let's go ahead and pause for This Week in Sports History.
February 25th, 1964, Muhammad Ali, at the age of 22, becomes the heavyweight champion of the world in a historic bout against Sonny Liston. Ali displayed his lightning-fast footwork and unmatched agility. Liston, a formidable opponent, aimed for a quick knockout, but Ali danced around him, elusive and untouchable. By the 7th round, Liston was exhausted, nursing a shoulder injury and concerned about a cut under his eye. Unable to continue, Liston conceded defeat, and in that moment, Muhammad Ali became the heavyweight champion of the world. This victory marked the beginning of an extraordinary career, a career that would see Ali successfully defend his title 19 times. His charisma and skill made him not just a sports icon, but a global icon. His first championship title was more than a victory. It was the moment the world took notice Muhammad Ali could float like a butterfly and sting like a bee.
Oh, thank you.
Big news coming out of college sports, particularly college football, where the NCAA was prohibited by the ruling of a federal judge in Tennessee, a preliminary injunction, from punishing athletes and boosters negotiating NIL deals. This is a huge development. The NCAA has tried to flex its muscle, punished Florida State. It announced it was coming after Tennessee. And so the attorney generals for Tennessee and Florida argued this case, in which a judge came to this conclusion in granting the preliminary injunction. Here are the judge's exact words: that the NCAA prohibition likely violates federal antitrust law and harms student athletes. How big is this ruling, Darren?
I think, you know, we have referred to several times on this podcast or the current state of college football, specifically being the wild, wild west. And I think this ruling kicks the doors open even further. And I guess maybe we add a third wild. It makes it the wild, wild, wild west. I don't, because basically it is saying, do what you want. And I actually heard Paul Feinbaum talk a little bit about this today on a not on his show, it was on a different podcast. And he said, you know, even the NCAA in their response, in their public statement, just came out with this disingenuous, we're going to have Congress's help because there's nothing they can say. They basically have been told, you have no power. Schools, talk to who you want to, when you want to, there will be no repercussions. Now, some would say, and I would be one of those, that says the reason this is happening is because the NCAA decided to pick and choose who they were going to come after, I think to kind of try to make a point. We've talked about that before, that this whole Tennessee thing, and for me to say these words, I think it gives it some extra validity that this whole Tennessee thing was silly from the get-go. To sit and have conversations about, well, but who paid for the plane when he came and he discussed his NIL deal and you know, the other deal at the other school where a coach drove a kid an athlete to have a conversation with an NIL agent. Now he's suspended. All of that stuff was silliness that created this situation. This, just like the other things, could have been avoided, but the NCAA, in true NCAA fashion, instead of doing what they could to avoid it, did everything they could to make it worse. And now here we are again with, again, the doors just being kicked open even further and the wild, wild, wild west. I mean, go and do what you want, when you want. And really, ultimately, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this, Ben, I think what this does is ultimately create an even quicker path to student athletes becoming school employees. And that whole, whatever that whole process, I think that becomes a bigger part of the conversation in a more expedited way now. However that all shakes out, don't know the answers to that, but what are your thoughts? I think that's part of what this ruling does.
Certainly when you look at this compared to the ruling that came out of Dartmouth, it appears to be heading in that direction. What often happens in these situations, not just here, but in a lot of things like this in life, we swing the pendulum from extreme to extreme.
Exactly.
On one hand, it was a few years ago where a team could receive a postseason ban and penalties and fines if a coach put $10 of gas in a player's car who didn't have any gas.
Bought them Taco Bell. Yeah.
And everybody knew that was absolutely ridiculous. Now we're going to the pendulum swinging to the other extreme. And so what I think is going to happen over time is this is going to even out. But right now, the NCAA is on the losing end. And I think they're reaping what they've been sowing for years.
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely,
you've got to do something for these athletes. The schools are making millions and millions of dollars off of them. Mm-hmm. For goodness sakes, we've got to figure out a way where basic needs can be taken care of and programs aren't penalized. I agree with you completely on the Tennessee issue. That was a sham from the very beginning.
Absolutely.
Absolutely ridiculous. So I'm thankful for this preliminary injunction. If you read on in this ruling, while the judge admits this is a preliminary injunction and the NCAA can come back again, he strongly encouraged them not to waste millions of dollars to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think truthfully, part of what that says or what that indicates is exactly what we're talking about. Even in his preliminary injunction, he's saying this is an acknowledgement of, in the current state where things are, the limited power, in our opinion, of their own doing, the limited power the NCAA now has.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. There will be more to report on this, I'm sure, as developments continue.
Absolutely.
Another major topic that has garnered a lot of attention is the subject of storming a court after a victory. Mm-hmm. The SEC has imposed fines in football and basketball already in this for a few years. But what's brought this to light right now is in a recent game, Duke-Wake Forest upset Duke, and a Duke player was injured in the massive fans that stormed the court. And we also have the situation that happened with Caitlin Clark not too long ago, mm-hmm. where she got knocked down as well. So there's a lot of different opinions on this. Of course, I think wherever you are, whatever side of the argument you're on, we are all very concerned about player safety, and not just player safety, but the safety of fans storming the court. That was a point that Bill Self made today. Or the other day, I don't know when it was, but I thought it was an excellent point by Coach Self in that regard. So how do we allow teams to celebrate? Because as fans, you wait out in line, you spend money mm-hmm. on tickets, you sit and you cheer your heart out, and your team pulls off a big win. You want to be able to celebrate with your team. So how do we go about doing this? Do we prohibit it entirely? Jay Billis in a debate with Stephen A. Smith today made the point, well, arrest them for storming the court. That'll stop it. I heard someone else suggest, well, make the home team forfeit that win. What's the answer here, Darren? What is your opinion on how do we handle this situation?
Well, first, let me say, arresting someone over storming a court, way too much. And number two, putting the outcome of a game in the hands of the student body as opposed to the player and the coaches, not a fan of that either. I just want to throw my two cents worth in there. Here, to me, here's the issue. Storm courting. There you go. How's that? I don't know if that's hey, Storm, how you doing? Is that what storm courting looks like?
I don't know. I think you just coined a brand new expression.
I have no idea what all of that just was.
We need to pause right now, and you need to copyright that right now.
Right. Put a date stamp on that. So court storming obviously is not new. It is something that has been around forever. To me, what has created our current circumstance is the frequency of court storming. You know, it used to be something that was reserved for legitimately enormous moments. When you knocked off the number one team, when you were another team's first loss of the season, when it was an enormous moment for your team, whatever that was, you know, becoming number one, taking the number one spot, whatever, you know, the 25th win and whatever the situation was. Now, it's just like that Wake Forest Duke game. I mean, yes, it was an upset, but Wake Forest is a good team. I understand they defeated Duke. There's something to be said for that. I understand that, but I think you reverse the clock 10 years or maybe 15 years, whatever that is. I don't think that's a stormed court scenario at the end of the game. Not to sound like the old man in the room, but I think this is just another example of social media exacerbating things. It becomes such a big deal that your school has that moment that ends up on SportsCenter, which is now seen on SportsCenter possibly, but also seen, you know, you can watch it and send it to all your buddies and all your family and all your on, because it's going to be on you uploaded to YouTube as well. So to me, that has created this scenario where, and again, I think it has to do with the frequency. It's not new that people stormed for, it was probably 25 years ago. It was late 90s. I was at a Vanderbilt game, a football game, and about 80 members of the student body stormed the field because they beat South Carolina. And it was the first SEC win in like four seasons or something like that. And I mean, people, even the stands were like, please get back in. No, don't storm. No. Let's not celebrate that. Just go back. So, but I think it's the frequency. And so to me, that has created the scenario where something has to happen. And I don't know if it's increased security, but to me, the fear of that is if you create this security line in front of a student body, what kind of scenario are you creating there? What does that end up looking like? I started to say something that's not even necessary. I'll just move on. What does that end up looking like in today's world if you've got this standoff between security and the student body? So, to me, I think it's something that has to be addressed to get it reined back in. But I understand the extreme difficulty of how to address it. I don't know the answer.
One of the more intriguing ideas I heard, Darren, was the suggestion that when this happens, asking, because like you said, you can form a security line and if the fans are not going to cooperate with you, it's futile. Mm-hmm. So asking fans are getting the visiting team off the court. I mean, what would that take? 30 seconds? Yeah. And then asking fans to just wait for those 30 seconds. And then if they want to come out and celebrate on the court, allow them to do that. This is a really fun part of college sports when this happens. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you, Darren. When your team upsets the number one team, yeah. But when you beat the number 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, right. what are we doing?
When you're 25 and you defeat 10 and we're storming the court, no, that's not. And therein lies the issue. And you know, maybe the security line is around is at the front of the visitors' bench. Maybe that's what you do. You're creating an alley for them to get off the floor. Maybe that's another possible scenario.
We look for reasons to celebrate. Look, we are still dealing with the scars of COVID and what that did to all of us. So we look for reasons to celebrate. So I can understand it from that vantage point. We treasure such moments. But even when LSU beat Kentucky the other night in Baton Rouge, Kentucky's ranked 16th.
Right.
They're not even the top 10.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, to me, that's what's created the scenario, but I don't know how you, what's a polite way? I don't know how you put all that back in the box. That's the thing, you know, cause you can't, I mean, you know, court storming etiquette classes. I don't think that's a thing. I don't think you could pull that off. So
there's going to be a danger,
right?
Even to the home team players. So I'm not sure. Maybe give the visiting team a chance to get off the floor. But like you said, the can has been opened.
Yep.
It's hard to close that.
Yeah. And that's the, and the things you're suggesting or that you've seen, you've heard others suggest of, okay, how do we work within where we are? You know, here's where we are. you know, you can't get all that put back in the box. Let's just acknowledge that. So knowing what's out of the box, how do we contain it a little bit? Maybe that is the only way that you can really work within this and try to find, because it has to become about safety. That's the bottom line. So how do you create the most safety possible in these scenarios?
Definitely safety for both the players, the coaches, and the fans.
Yeah, I was to say, and the fans, because we've had a couple of scenarios. One last season, wasn't it? Or in the last couple of seasons where a fan was injured running into a player, or that was at least alleged. And then there was a scenario, there was more than a decade ago where a fan got punched by an opposing team. Matter of fact, I think that was more than over a decade ago. But so those things have happened as well. So it's safety from every aspect.
And the home team doesn't always want the fans out there. I remember the Celtics after winning a championship one year, Larry Bird was just plowing through people trying to get off that court.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like you said, that's, you're talking about athletes that could be 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", 200, 230, 240. We're talking mm-hmm. about individuals that are strong and athletic, and the common fan is not.
That's correct. Absolutely. Great point.
But we'll wait and see as this debate rages on. Like you said, it's good material for social media and talk shows.
Yeah. And I will say, I think the what?
Like what we're doing right now.
Yeah, like what we're doing right now. I think basketball will take the forefront of this because, you know, football and things like that, there are measures that seem to be easier to put in place. But basketball will definitely have to take the forefront of this conversation.
Definitely. Definitely. We'll wait and see.
Yep.
March Madness is coming. Who knows what's going to happen? Thank you for joining us for another episode. We appreciate your support so much. Be sure to like, subscribe, follow us. Keep up to date with everything that's happening here at the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast. New episodes drop every Tuesday, sometime in the wee hours of the morning, depending on the night that Darren had before.
Depending on how the morning's going, yeah.
But they will be there somewhere on that Tuesday.
That's right.
So until next week, y'all take care.
Have a great week.
Thank you for making the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast your go-to sports show. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show if you haven't already. Your feedback is so important. Let us know what you think about this week's show. Send an email to brewandshavers@gmail.com or a text to our text line 318-390-3599. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you again for listening to the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast. See you next week.